This is Dissecting Dragons, a speculative fiction podcast for writers and readers by writers and readers.
Welcome to Dissecting Dragons, a speculative fiction podcast for writers and readers by writers and readers. I'm Madeleine Bourne.
And I'm Jules Ironside. This week, Ouija boards, possessed dolls, and Bloody Mary, the fascination with supernatural games.
Now, the idea for this episode came from a list that was thrown my way on a website called Tap Ooze or something like that. T-A-P-O-O-S. And it was 10 paranormal games you should never play. And it then proceeded to tell you how to play all of these paranormal games. So, you know, I sent it to a few people and they were like, why would you send us this? Now we have to play them all! I was just looking through them and I do know the history of some of these games and I don't know some of the others. And so I just thought that, you know, we could discuss it, because why is it that, having looked through this and with the descriptions literally telling us that this is a terrible idea, was I tempted to try these out, despite the fact I do not want to try any of these out? What was the fascination? And there is a fascination, and we see it in literature, and we see it in sort of culture and things like that. So I thought that we'd do an episode on it.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised that you were tempted to try any of them out.
No, but that's the thing. Like, as in, I'm not actually tempted to do it. Like, I would never actually do it. But at the same time, I was thinking of the logistics about doing it. Out of this pure sort of curiosity, despite the fact that I have a strict no Ouija boards rule in the flat, because they're not allowed in the flat, because, you know, there's a 99.999999998% chance that it is totally not supernatural at all, that it's just people messing around. However, there is that tiny minuscule chance that you are opening a doorway, sticking your hand in and saying, hey, whoever's there, come in! And just basically letting whatever you want into your house. The other one is that it obviously promotes hysteria. In that, if you're going to play with a Ouija board, you want to have the atmosphere, don't you? So you light some candles, you wait till it's dark, you get yourself hyped up to do it. And then all it takes is for someone to do something a little bit strange, or for something a little bit strange to happen, and hysteria takes hold. And people do the craziest stuff when they're affected by hysteria. And people get hurt.
Yeah, I'd say that's all fairly accurate.
So I have a strict no Ouija board, and so I would never play any of these games, because I know what I'm like, and even if they weren't real, you know, I would be lying in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning like, well, a demon is going to eat my face now, so I guess I get what I deserve. But it was fun to look through this list, because all I can think of is how some of these could be used in stories, and then I realised, of course, that some have been used in stories. Yeah. So why don't we go through the list?
Yeah, fine.
And discuss each one, and discuss maybe how some of these ideas have been used in fiction, and yeah, things along those lines. Okay.
I mean, I've got a list here as well. I don't think it's the same list as yours, but let's go from yours and see how many of them cross over, because that'll be interesting.
Okay, all right. So the first one is elevator to another dimension.
That is on this list as well. I'd never heard of that one before.
No, neither had I. There is something odd about elevators, though, because, I mean, we love to play with them as children, don't we?
I've always been freaked out by lifts. I will always take the stairs. I will take the stairs laden with suitcases if I'm given the option, rather than take the elevator.
Why is that?
I'm okay with enclosed spaces as long as there aren't any other people in there with me. Mm-hmm. And the minute you put other people in there, I start to get a bit freaked out. And then what really finished it off was a trip to Disneyland with my parents and my younger sister, the very youngest sister, who was like 11 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was 20. And she was really up for going on all the rides. And of course, my parents weren't going to take her, so I did. And she was like, yeah, we could totally do the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it drops you 13 floors. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. By the 3rd time, you don't know if you're going up or down anymore. And there's just light flashing in through the windows as you're dropped down this tower. Anyway, that was kind of it for me in elevators.
That's fair enough. I have to admit that, yeah, there was a time in my life where every time I got into an elevator, I clung to the side just in case the floor came out from beneath me. And elevator shafts scare me. The idea of people on elevator shafts and then elevators coming up and people getting crushed and things like that. I'm not a big fan of that. But, okay, so reading from the website, and we'll provide a link as well, it says that this game comes from Korea. And apparently, it's a game that can take you to a different universe through using an elevator. So all you need is a building which has up to 10 floors. And apparently, you want to be able to use this elevator on your own. So I'm not sure how likely that is, because if it's a building with 10 floors, there's likely to be 10 floors worth of people who may also want to use the elevator. Well, I don't know why I'm calling it an elevator. I should really be calling it a lift, shouldn't I?
Yeah, we are in the UK.
Yeah, we are.
It's like anybody getting on for hell kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So this is what you have to do to play this game. You visit the floors in the sequence of, you go to 4th, 2nd, 6th, 2nd, 10th, 5th, okay? Now it says apparently when you reach the 5th floor, a woman will enter, as long as you did the ritual right, but no one else presumably got in. The woman will ask you which floor you're going to, but you shouldn't answer her. At which point the lift rather, will automatically go up to the 10th floor instead of going down. And when you step out, you will actually be in a new dimension. So you can just wander around that dimension. And when you want to go home, you just pop back into the elevator, do the same ritual, and you'll be back home again. And apparently it says, the really scary thing is what happens if you actually answer the woman instead of not talking to her, as nobody who's ever talked to the woman has lived to tell the tale. In which case, I must ask, how do they know that talking to the woman will... Anyway, it's the Jack Sparrow things, like, so who tells the tales?
That's classic ghost lore, isn't it, almost?
Yeah.
Nobody has lived to tell the tale. It's like, nobody's seen the Headless Horseman and lived. And it's like, okay, so how do you know there's a Headless Horseman?
Well, I mean, it doesn't necessarily say that they die straight away. So the person could say, I just saw a Headless Horseman, and then died on the spot, you know.
And then technically they've told the tale, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. You're right. Maybe they wrote it, I don't know. Okay, they recorded it.
I can kind of get the whole sort of lifts and elevators being like portals to another world thing, and it has been used. It was used in Angel when they took over the law firm Wolfram and Hart.
Mm.
The elevator didn't just go up to the 22nd floor or whatever. You know, it went all the way down into hell. And
yeah, and it's something actually you do see is elevators that go down into hell or ascend up into heaven or of some description. I mean, you could technically say that the Bifrost is basically a very quick, unsafe elevator in Thor.
Yeah, it's bridges across worlds, isn't it? And,
yeah.
You know, it's interesting, and you can see why that connection would have been made archetypally. The actual game sounds a little bit silly to me.
Yeah, and again, it also seems quite silly because you would have to work very, very hard to be able to do this sequence, to be able to do the ritual, simply because, as I said, if you're in a building that's got 10 floors, it's very, very, very likely that other people will be wanting to use the lift. You're just hogging it, not letting anyone else in. So, there's that. That being said, I did read this great... I saw this. It was this series of drawings which were children's fears written down and drawn. And it was one person who said that she knew that if you spun around on the spot and the moment you got back to the place you were in originally, you would be in a different dimension that looked exactly the same but was different. And then if you turned one more time, you'd go back home. And then the final line was, I lost count of the times I turned.
Yeah.
And that was really scary.
That's pretty freaky, actually.
Yeah. It's just, whoops, which one am I in? That's terrifying. And there is something about alternative dimensions, which is quite scary. Fascinating, but can be quite scary, especially if getting in or out can be quite difficult. So yeah, so that's game number one. Game number two is the very famous Bloody Mary.
Yeah, see, I don't think we ever played Bloody Mary. To be fair, I never played at all. But it was Black Maria for us.
Black Maria?
Something slightly different.
Yeah, well, talk us through Black Maria.
Well, if you say... I'm not saying say Bloody Mary, but if you tell us about Bloody Mary first, and then I'll explain why Black Maria is a sort of Catholic slant on the whole thing.
Okay. There are a lot of kind of stories about where the Bloody Mary myth comes from. So it says on the list that it's more folklore than game, but it was she's supposedly the ghost, the spirit of a witch who was burned during the witch hunt in the 17th century. And if you can basically summon her by going to your mirror, holding up a candle, and chanting her name three times. Apparently then she will appear in the mirror. She's usually covered in blood. And rumour has it that people who've tried this game have faced Bloody Mary's wrath. You know, they get strangled or are cursed, or apparently she steals your souls. There are lots of different versions of this game. Lots of different versions, lots of different stories about where she came from, and it's actually quite a popular game in that lots and lots of people have played it. A few have, again, talked about horrible experiences which have come from playing the game, but then again, we can talk about hysteria until I'm blue in the face, whilst most people have reported nothing ever happened to them. I can report that nothing ever happened to me. Or did it? So yeah, talk to us about Black Maria.
It's essentially the same thing, but I think I'm dredging my memory for this. It seems to have been a bit more of a localised game. The figure is supposed to have been a nun who was strangled during the dissolution of the monasteries.
Yeah.
And the idea is that you make the sign of the cross backwards with your left hand, not your right. If you were brought up Catholic and you ever made the sign of the cross with your left hand, you tended to get wrapped literally across the knuckles, or you did in my day, because that was very, very bad.
Indeed.
And then it's you say Black Maria, Black Maria, Black Maria, in front of a mirror. It's supposed to be midnight and a lit candle as well, I think. I never played this, but some girls at school apparently did and really freaked themselves out.
Yeah. Now, it's strange because, you get all sorts of stories about who she was. So in your version, she was a nun. In this version, she was a witch. The one I knew when I tried it out was that she was Mary the First.
I've heard that version
as
well.
Bloody Mary. And the other thing is that you get Bloody Mary actually in quite a few... She pops up a lot, and not just within European mythology and folklore. The interesting thing about the Bloody Mary myth is that it's the connection between a young woman and a mirror, and that she can be summoned via mirrors. Now, there was an episode of Supernatural in season one which was about Bloody Mary, and I think the conclusion was that her soul was in the mirrors, basically, and she could move between mirrors. And she would punish people who had killed and gotten away with it. Which is why when most people say Bloody Mary, she wouldn't appear before them. However, if you said Bloody Mary into a mirror, she would be in that mirror and she'd wait for someone to look in the mirror who had committed murder, basically, and gotten away with it.
Why would you do it? Honestly, why would you do it?
I don't know.
I'm fine. I'm totally cool with this. I'm going to say it. Nothing will appear. And then on the third Bloody Mary, you're kind of like, oh yeah, there was that person I murdered 2 years ago. I completely forgotten about.
Now, to be fair, in Supernatural, people didn't realise that Bloody Mary was real. And the first person who did it was a young child summoned Bloody Mary to the mirror, and of course nothing happened to the child because she hadn't committed any murder. Then her father appeared and was killed instead, and it turned out that the father had murdered his wife. But the thing is that ghosts are very kind of singular in Supernatural. So actually one girl starts to get haunted and is at risk of being killed because her boyfriend threatened that if she left him, her abusive boyfriend threatened that if she left him, he would kill himself. Yeah. And she said, whatever, and she left, and he did kill himself. So Bloody Mary takes that as her murdering him.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I know. It's very, very black and white. Now, Bloody Mary is incredibly popular, and I do have a list here of where she has appeared in stories. There is actually a movie called Bloody Mary, which is apparently set in a psychiatric hospital. Based on the legends. There's also The Legend of Bloody Mary. Then there's Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension, on stage.
Sorry. I shouldn't scoff at some of these things, but I do.
Stage, the 2008 Halloween Horror Nights. Then in television, we've got a nice long list from television. She's appeared in Charmed, The Ghost Whisperer, Supernatural is mentioned. In the X-Files, that her legend is brought up, mentioned in Warehouse 13, and apparently also in South Park. So that's fun.
Yeah. See, I mean, I can explain some of the mirror mythology, because I think we've touched on it briefly before, but mirrors are supposed to reflect truth. But ghost-wise, this is an Irish tradition, if somebody dies, you're supposed to drape all the mirrors in the house, so that you don't inadvertently trap the spirit. On the other hand, if you wanted to trap the spirit, you don't drape the mirrors, and then you just sprinkle a little bit of grave dust along the rim of the mirror, and that's supposed to trap them actually in the mirrors for you to use later.
Yes, indeed. Just in case you want to trap soul.
If you want a handy portable ghost in a mirror kind of thing, obviously.
Well, that makes me think of the mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all. Did the witch trap... I bet it's her husband as well, the king. She trapped his soul inside the mirror and uses him.
What makes him flatter her forever?
Yes.
What did he do? What did the poor dude do wrong? Seriously. No one deserves that. You're Quicksilver sycophant.
So, technically he does. He says you are the fairest of them all until his daughter grows up, and then he's like, nah, my daughter's prettier than you.
To be honest, if he's macking on his daughter, that's pretty disturbing on another level.
Yeah, but this is Grimm's fairy tales. What can you do? There is actually another version of the Bloody Mary story, which is that it used to actually be played, and this is the interesting thing, because one must ask oneself, why would you look into a mirror, summon an evil spirit, just so that it could curse you? I mean...
Masochism?
Perhaps you just really hate yourself, and you're like, you know what, I deserve to be cursed by an evil spirit. That's possible. But originally, actually, I believe the game was played, and instead of Bloody Mary's face appearing in the mirror, you'd be able to see the face of your future husband. So it was a game that young women played.
That goes back to the May morning dew bath as well, which is another Gaelic tradition, which, you know, you either bathe in dew or you collect dew into a bowl and look into it. And, you know, the bathing in dew is supposed to make you beautiful. I expect it made you very cold in Scotland and Ireland in May. So there's certainly that. But
she died very soon afterwards, but she was incredibly beautiful.
But the bowl of dew was a case of, or looking into a pond on May morning, etc., it's supposed to, you know, as you say, show you the face of your future beloved, or the person you're supposed to marry. There's a difference between beloved and marrying someone.
Yeah.
There's also something called a dumb supper. Have you ever heard of that one?
I have not heard of that one. Please, enlighten me.
What you do is, if you have a dining room, which, you know, I imagine not a lot of the peasants in Ireland actually did have, for a long time. But if you had a dining room, you set out the table with one place and one plate, you know, one set of cutlery, one glass of wine, and then you pulled at midnight, you tapped the glass, you rang a bell three times, pulled the chair back, and then said, come in, and said it three times. I've never really liked the idea of that, because I think when you issue a blanket invitation to the universe like that, the universe occasionally like complies with something that perhaps you didn't want, even if it's a nasty figment in your imagination.
Yeah.
But no, that was supposed to be the same thing. You were supposed to see a fetch or a sending of your future mate. Again, that's one I would never actually try.
Yeah. We do not suggest any of our listeners try these, and if you do, you do it at your own risk. It's literally nothing to do with us. We take no responsibility.
I think what Madeline's really saying is we think our listeners are generally quite intelligent people. We don't think we should be giving caveats and disclaimers, but just in case.
Just in case. Please, please don't try these. Right. Game number three is the Three Kings Ritual. I don't really get this one, but okay.
I know someone who tried this.
Okay, well, I'll explain it first, and then, and then tell it. Okay, so it's said to enable you to tap into another dimension. So you need a big room, but there can't be any natural light in the room. So a basement is probably a good idea. You need a candle, two mirrors, three chairs, and an object from your childhood. You put them all in the basement, leave the door open and go to sleep in... It specifically says go to sleep in your bed. if you go to sleep in someone else's bed, whoa, betide you! No, apparently make sure you sleep in your own room. I don't really know why, but okay, apparently you need to sleep in your own room. You need to wake up at 3:30 a.m. Go to the room where you set everything up. If they're all still in the same place that you left them, you can carry on with the ritual. If they aren't, you should probably run very, very quickly away and question your life choices. That's not written down, that's just my personal advice. Then you need to sit on the chair and wait until 3:33 a.m. in the morning. We'll discuss the 3:33 in a minute. But yes, 3:33 a.m. With the candle lit in your hand. You can't let the candle die out, and whatever you do, don't look into the mirrors. Instead, look at the darkest corner of the room, because that's not terrifying at all. Apparently, if you've done everything as you should have done, you will feel a presence exactly at 3:33 a.m., and it will talk to you about your past. Some people have said that the game puts you in a lucid dream, but you won't know until you try it yourself. So, there we go. So, Jules.
Yeah, again, this is something I would... This episode is full of stuff I would never try. It makes me sound kind of chicken, but I've done...
Well, very sensible.
Very sensible, you know, one or the other. I've obviously done other things, but weighing up risks, etc. But this is something I would never do. Interesting sidebar, the traditional way to trap a witch is between two mirrors, so... Anything with a couple of mirrors is involved is not gonna... I'm not gonna be there for that, basically.
Are you trying to tell me that the way we could have stopped Hermione Granger all those years ago was with two mirrors?
I do know somebody who tried this. It was at university. Okay. I was woken up at just... I think it was at about 20 to 4 in the morning by a bunch of lads from one of the other flats saying I had to come, they needed me, and I'm like, why? And by the way, do you know what the time is? And they're like, yeah, but we can't do anything with him. And it was a friend of mine who had done a version of this with three mirrors and had not had a very good effect. You know, screaming hysterics would not actually be an accurate description, and I never really got the full answer out of him as to what he allegedly had seen, but he believed he'd summoned up some sort of demon in the mirror.
Right.
Now, full disclosure, I believe there was a narcotic component to this entire thing as well, so bear that in mind. On the other hand, I really don't think that, you know, narcotics, mirrors, weird rituals, and the middle of the night go together very well. So...
Yeah, I tend to agree with you actually that there are some things which you really ought to leave alone.
What I will say though is that this wasn't put on. This person genuinely did believe they'd seen something.
Yeah.
How that came about, I don't know, and I wouldn't like to comment, but if I'd ever been inclined to try this stupid game, that would have put me off.
Well, you've put me off. If I was going to try any of them, it would have been that one. So there you go.
Yeah, basically, don't issue a blank check to the universe. It will cash it one way or another.
Okay. Now, very quickly, one thing we're going to see a lot of actually in several of these games is the insistence that the games are played at 3 o'clock in the morning or 3:33. Just want to talk about that very quickly. 3 o'clock is considered the witching hour. A lot of people think that's 12 at night, but it isn't. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you know why, Jules?
3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not sure. I have heard it called the hour of the wolf more commonly.
Yeah. Well, apparently, a version I've heard about why it's 3 o'clock in the morning is that at 3 o'clock in the afternoon was when Jesus officially died while on the cross. So that's the holiest time, and therefore 3 o'clock in the morning is the time when the spirits, the like, are at their most active.
So it's a little bit more Catholic superstition that's sort of woven its way in then.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I also think it's probably because it's one of the darkest points of the night.
Yeah, that would make more sense. And certainly the whole Hour of the Wolf thing, it was allegedly that was when the werewolves hunted kind of thing.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about witches and werewolves.
And bearing in mind, of course, that sleep patterns used to be that you'd go to bed relatively early, then you'd wake up.
Yeah, and you'd be awake for a couple of hours, and then you'd go back, you'd then have your big second sleep.
Yeah, now I'm pretty sure that you sort of probably you'd wake up and then you'd be going back to sleep at about 1 o'clock in the morning, which meant that 3 o'clock in the morning was probably the period of the deepest sleep. And also, actually, I probably imagine because if you go to sleep in that way and you wake up, you're more likely to have very, very vivid dreams. Because I've done that, where I've woken up and then I've gone back to sleep again, and had incredibly vivid dreams and quite often nightmares at that point. So I think it is possible that another reason why 3 o'clock is considered that time is that. That was a period when lots of people would suddenly be having very weird and lucid dreams.
Yeah, most likely.
Plus, and I pointed this out to someone, you can't have 666 in time, but you can have 333, so I guess they just they just dealt with what they could. Right. So, the next game. Now, this is a big one. It is the Ouija board.
Yes.
Ouija board is actually meant to be pronounced "we-ya," as in yes, we in French and ja in German. I don't know why it's called the yes board, but it is. This was a game that was originally sort of, it was a bit of a parlor game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it became really popular with the advent of spiritualism, particularly in
Yeah.
America.
And then suddenly it was being sold as a board game for kids.
Disturbingly, it's like, what should we do? Oh, let's contact the
Fun Friday night thing to do. This is why American kids are always being killed in movies. So yeah, for those who somehow don't know about Ouija boards, they are these big boards which have got the alphabet and numbers on them, and you use a is it called a plectrum? It's not called a plectrum. That's what you play a guitar with.
Planchette. Planchette.
Planchette, that's it. And you use that, you all put your hands on it, ask questions, and the spirit will guide your hand to spell out words and things like that. For the most part, people come up with nonsense. I believe my mother even played this game once. I asked her if anything supernatural happened. She said if it did, the ghost couldn't spell. But she said she could feel her friend's hand pushing the planchette, so she wasn't really that frightened. But I was surprised by a Catholic girl playing this game. Clearly, she was in her rebellious phase at the time. I've never played it, and to be honest, I don't think I ever will.
Well, the whole never done the whole planchette thing. That's uncommon over here. We don't actually tend to sell them in toy stores and game emporiums over in the UK, strangely enough. But, you know, it's quite common. You can make your own, just cut out all the letters of the alphabet on pieces of paper, a yes, no, all the numbers up to from 1, 0 to 9. Put them in a circle, stick a glass in the middle, and use that instead. You know, upend a glass.
Yeah. So have you done it?
Yes, I've never done it as a game, though. I was asked to take part in a seance, and I did it then. What? But no, it's absolutely, I would say it's absolutely not a game. This is not the sort of stuff you play around with.
No. I don't get, why would you sell that to children?
I think because it became popular and they could make money out of it. The very simple answer is, well, will it make us money?
Yeah. I think the thing is that a lot of corporations just thought, well, spirits aren't real, it's not dangerous. And again, they didn't take into account the fact that it doesn't matter whether spirits are real or not. If people believe in spirits, they will act accordingly.
Yeah, there's also the other side of things as well, which is the fact that along with things like dowsing, you can create involuntary movement, you know, just tiny micro movements with your muscle fibres, which would be just enough to make that movement happen. And what's really interesting about that is if you take dowsing as an example, let's say pendulum dowsing perhaps, and you're looking for, say, something like water, and, you know, you actually don't know consciously where water is. But somehow you get these little involuntary micro movements that cause the pendulum to swing and you follow the direction and it takes you to water.
Yeah.
You know, how did you know? So is that your senses picking up something that you are no longer equipped to interpret consciously, but your subconscious can actually pick up on? And therefore, you're basically communicating with your own subconscious, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And it's possible that that's what you're doing with something like a Ouija board.
Yeah, entirely possible. But not something you should be giving to children.
No. We did actually get... the glass did move. We did get some messages back. It's not a case of your whole hand. It's literally one fingertip.
Yeah.
The idea is to not let too much in the way of involuntary movement happen. And the glass moved very, very sharply. And it moved quite sharply when someone... It moved sharply. Someone went, took their fingertip off it. And the glass continued to move really, really sharply. And since... The other two of us only had one fingertip on it. You wouldn't have been able to have enough pressure on it to move it in the direction it was going. So it was a bit weird.
Don't like it. I don't like it.
It's not. As I said, I'm not advising any. I was asked to help, so I went along. It was interesting.
Anyway, we better move on because. Okay, so the next one is one man hide and seek. Unsurprisingly, this is terrifying and it's Japanese. If there's one thing the Japanese do really, really well, it's terrifying ghost stories and games. Now, this one, so it's called Hitori Kakurembo. So Hitori is on your own, Kakurembo is hide and seek as a game. So it's a game where you play hide and seek with a spirit possessed doll.
It's like, how bored do you have to be to do this?
Who decides, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to literally make a cursed doll and play hide and seek with it. It's such a terrible idea. Ugh.
It sounds like one of those Chuck Norris jokes, doesn't it? It's Chuck Norris when he plays one man hide and seek, the doll hides from him.
Yes. No, it was, it's because I was going past the charity store and I saw these two amazingly beautiful China dolls in the windows, and they were super, super cheap, even though they were clearly very expensive, if that makes sense. And I was just thinking, they are amazing. Look at the detail of the dress. They're so beautiful. And I thought, I really want one. And then I thought, but I don't want one because I don't want a China doll, because I'd have it in the house and I'd be terrified of it the entire time. As nice as I think the dresses look, as great as they'd be for like maybe photographs or drawing and stuff like that, they are terrifying. And I was like, these are cursed. They don't even have to be cursed for me to know that they are cursed, and that will taint the entire experience. So I deny them in the end. They're now gone from the shop window. Hopefully someone bought them. They haven't just gone walkabouts themselves.
Thank you so much. You didn't get to the point where you were thinking, I'd like Jules to visit again at some point. That would be like over if I forgot one of those.
No, that's the thing, is I don't like dolls and I don't like puppets at all. I don't like them. So I don't know why I was tempted to buy those dolls. I must have been mildly possessed at the time. But yeah, I obviously didn't buy them. And later on, I was very, very glad that I... Because I know what would have happened. I would have walked out of the store, I'd have looked down at the bag and gone, ah! Why? Why have I done this? Oh, God! Set them on fire. Anyway, so you take this doll, you remove the stuffing inside of it, and you fill it with rice. Good start. Then you add a part of yourself into the doll, like hair or fingernail or something like that. And then you need to sew the doll back up with red thread, and you wrap the doll with the red thread. You then give the doll a name, and you keep it in a tub or basket filled with water. Okay, this is a lot of hard work just to play hide and seek. Like, you could just go to the neighbour next door, like, hey, you want to play hide and seek? Yeah, sure, okay. Is there a chance we'll get cursed? Nah, it's just us, okay. You know, that feels like a safer bet, and a lot quicker. So then you should go on and you turn all the lights off in the house, fill your mouth with salt water, and go back to look for the doll, which may not be in the tub anymore. You need to look for it, and when you find it, pour the salt water over it and burn it. Then hide and wait. For those who've tried said they won't have to wait for long before they know that someone is looking for them in the house. But when does the game end, Jules? Are you just running for the rest of your life?
It's kind of like, I feel like my life has hit a bit of a rut. What shall I do? I think I'll make a possessed doll and burn it, and then I'll spend the rest of my life living in terror of it finding me. Yeah, I'm not playing that one.
No, I just love it. Who says, you know what? It's Saturday night, I'm bored. I'm going to fill my mouth with salt water. What if you trip and accidentally swallow the salt water? How screwed are you? Anyway, so we don't recommend you play that game. And if you do, well, tell us what happened at the end. Right, next game. Is called Dry Bones.
Oh yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, okay, so this is again much like Hitori Kakurembo. Dry Bones is a game where you are also playing hide and seek. Why are they ruining hide and seek for us, Jules?
I don't know, it used to be such an innocent game.
It's such an innocent game. Okay, but this time you've got a demon after you instead of a doll. So, you know, next step up. Sure, it doesn't sound like a great idea, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. If you win, you get to have your wish fulfilled. If you lose, you die. So there's that. So you need a bathroom, a candle, and some matches. You start the game at exactly 12 a.m. You stand in front of a mirror and wait until you hear something. Apparently it can be anything, so something eerie, not just the sort of the usual kind of noises that you hear, but something that doesn't feel quite right. If you hear something, you need to immediately leave the house, as that means you're not alone there. A spirit may have just entered the house. If it's entirely silent, you may proceed to make a wish. So I just love the idea. It's like, if you hear something, then you need to leave the house. Forever. Don't come back. Move out. You've just invited something into your house. That's it.
Leave the country. You're done.
You're done, yeah. Okay. In case you hear eerie sounds, beware, for the demon and spirit is around. In that case, you need to lie down on the floor and simply tell the demon that you welcome it into your home. No, that's a terrible idea.
That is a terrible idea.
After that, you need to go and hide. If you can keep hiding until 3 a.m, then you win and can ask for the prize. If you fail, well, nobody's ever lived to tell the tale, so there you go. Now, that is an interesting one, because there is at least a reason for why you play it, which is that you get a prize if you win. So it is the whole kind of making a deal with a demon. Where, yeah, you what you've done is, it's not just a game, it's you've made a bet, you've entered something like that. If I can hide for a certain amount of times, I get a prize, and if I don't, then you kill me.
Yeah, it's a bit double or nothing, isn't it, really?
Yeah. but that is actually something that you do see a lot of in fiction, the whole kind of the game with the demon. And it is interesting, because there is this thing, which is the demons and ghosts and stuff, not ghosts necessarily, but demons like playing games. It's something you often see. The bad guys are always willing to have a wager. They're always willing to do a bet. They're always willing to sort of give you a kind of a chance. Everything's very cut and dry with the good guys.
Yeah.
But demons seem to really love games. They're very playful in that way. Fairies are the same thing. Ah, oh, damn it! Sorry, I said the F word. I wasn't going to today. But that is something that we do see a lot of. I'm trying to think of an example, actually. I had so many earlier, and I can't think of a single one now where they've done wagers. Can you think of any?
This just takes me back to Dennis Wheatley books, to be honest, where you make deals with demons. It is all basically gambling. But yeah, there's any amount of like fairy lore and things, isn't there?
Yeah. Where you could be literally at their mercy, and then you say, wait, let's play a game. And they'll go, ooh, I literally have you where I want you, but sure, let's play a game.
Riddles is a really popular one.
Yeah.
But it's like the old lore around, not the new version of vampires, but the old folklore version of vampires are that... you can basically mesmerize them by getting them to count things. So seeds, thorns, bits of thread. That's what tangle bottles were supposed to be for.
Salt?
Yeah, less with salt. I've found from my reading.
I found personally. I just find that they're just not interested in it,
they're
usually.
Not interested in the salt. They really do go for the seeds and thorns.
Just like, ooh!
They'll count those motherfuckers until the sun comes up and burns them.
So is that why the count loves to count?
You know, it might be. I never really thought about that.
I'm pretty sure it's just the count because he's the count. I don't think they actually really thought that far. Unless the people...
This is a really, really like, subtle double bluff.
Double bluff. It's like, well, you know, the vampires love to count stuff.
And the folklore boffins in the audience going, ah, Sesame Street giving us arcane knowledge.
Right, moving on. The Midnight Game. That sounds good. So apparently this one is quite popular. Who's playing these games? Takes you to extremes if you want to play. It's believed to be based on an old pagan ritual, which was used to punish those who disobeyed the religion or whatever. So, play the game, you summon the Midnight Man. It sounds like a terrible idea. And you need to keep running from him until 3:33 a.m. Make sure you don't get caught, for unspeakable horrors await you if you do. It's not very complicated, it literally just seems to be a game of chase. Just remember, those who've played it have strictly advised against the idea of playing it again. Some have reportedly hallucinated for days after playing, and live in fear and misery for the rest of their lives. Well, it doesn't actually tell you how to summon the Midnight Man,
which is probably good.
But yeah, I just like the idea. It's like you summon him and then you run from him. It's like you're putting yourself into an amphitheatre. It's just they're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put myself at extreme risk.
All these summoning games is just making me think of A, Candyman, and B, South Park with Biggie Smalls. You stand in front of the mirror and say, Biggie Smalls, Biggie Smalls, and then Biggie Smalls is kind of like, oh damn it, someone's summoning me again.
These demons must get really, really bored. That or they're just waiting for people to summon them. I just want a cup of tea. Why do you guys always run away from me?
It's probably even better than that. It's probably like, all right, Dave, all right, Marv. Oh, hang on a minute. Someone's summoning me. I'm on the night shift for another half an hour. I can get cover tonight.
Just going to go scare the bejesus out of these kids. See you later. Catch up on Game of Thrones when I get back. Demons watch Game of Thrones. Everyone does.
Yes.
Right. Next game. Also a Japanese one, unsurprisingly. It's called Daruma-san. Right. Daruma-san literally translates as bath game.
Right, I'm out.
And I'm out!
No.
Yeah. You summon a ghost or spirit in this one and try to evade it. The ritual to do it differs greatly, apparently. You go to the bathtub entirely naked, good start, with all the lights in the house turned off. Good start. Very good. You sit in the bathtub facing the tap and start washing your hair. Presumably there is water in the bath. You're not just washing your hair. just shampoo it just while it's dry while you're sitting there naked shivering in the dark. While you're washing your hair, you keep repeating these exact words. Dorama-san fell down over and over again. Presumably you say it in Japanese, but there we go. Soon you will see an image of a woman standing in front of the bathtub facing you. She will fall down on the tap and injure her eye. This is horrible. Keep on repeating the words and finish washing your hair. Once you finish washing your hair, you need to say these words just once. Why did you fall in the bathtub? Then you leave and go to sleep, because the actual game will start the next day. First of all, how are you supposed to go to sleep after you've just witnessed Demon Woman literally brain herself on the side of your bath? But apparently you do.
I've got it. They actually don't say put water in the tub, do they? So what you do is you start washing your hair, you get soap in your eyes. You've been chanting, so you put yourself in this weird quasi-alpha state. You hallucinate something, you trip over, you brain yourself on the tap, and then you have this really trippy dream. This is how the game works.
This is how the game starts. Okay, so apparently you'll feel a presence near you the entire time, but you want to keep your distance from the presence. So you're going to always be on the run. In case you feel the presence is too near, you need to turn around, imitate a slapping movement with your hands and say, "Kita!" As in, it's here or it's coming. It doesn't again say how the game ends. Apparently you're just running for the rest of your life, slapping your hands in front of the air saying, "Kita."
It's like, yeah, thank you so much for this, Japan.
Thank you, Japan. This is from the bringers of the Ring and the Grudge. Right, number 9 is The Hooded Man. Apparently this is like the elevator game, and it takes you to another dimension. This time you are accompanied by a hooded man. You need to clean yourself. You need to cleanse yourself, rather, before you start playing this game. So it says burn a sage. I think it means burn some sage, rather than hey, are you a sage? Yes, I am. Excellent.
Find yourself a wise man.
Find yourself a wise man. Get some gasoline.
It's like, hey, do you understand Plato and Aristotle?
Why, yes, I. Oh gosh.
Pass the accelerant.
Apparently that's cleansing. But there you go. So burn some sage and spread salt on your front door. Okay, the game will begin at night, as always. You need to call for a taxi. When the taxi comes, you just sit in it, close the doors, and go to sleep. The taxi driver's like, "Oi, where you want to go, mate?"
One really pissed off taxi driver. Or very Uber pissed. Driver now, isn't it?
Yeah. Call an Uber, sit in the back of the car, and go to sleep. The Uber driver's like, "What am I supposed to do with this?" Yeah, so you go to sleep. Apparently you will wake up at 3:30, and then you'll fall asleep again. Except when you do wake up, this time you'll see a hooded man will be driving the car instead. So apparently your taxi driver went, "You know what, I'm out." And the Grim Reaper came and took over instead. And apparently the roads you're driving on will be unfamiliar. If other passengers get into the taxi, you shouldn't talk to them or pay them any attention. So you keep traveling in this new world, or you can simply whisper to the hooded man's ear that you've reached your destination. Once you whisper these words, you'll fall asleep again and wake up in your house.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why you'd play this game.
No, it's a bit... I mean, okay, even for a paranormal game, that's quite tame, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you just get to sort of sit in a car and look at some new... It says it's still the roads will be unfamiliar, but are they just regular roads? Does it look like you're on a motorway, or do you get to see something cool? Like, you know, the fires of Tartarus or something.
Yeah.
A lot of sleeping involved in this game. I'm not very good at sleeping. I don't think I'd be able to play it.
No, me neither. I can't fall asleep on command anyway.
No. Yeah, this is something in the game. You need to just apparently be able to fall asleep no matter what the crazy things that you're doing. I just summoned a spirit. Well, time for bed.
It's like, no, that's me up for a week.
That's it. I'm awake now. That is the thing with taxis, though, before we go on. taxis being the things that take you to sort of other dimensions. Oddly enough, actually, this was brought up. There was Percy Jackson. Did you ever read the Percy Jackson books?
No, I still haven't.
Well, in the first one, they get a taxi, which takes them to. It's a Greek mythology taxi, and it's driven by someone crazy. But yeah, the taxi will sort of take them between realities. You've got the night bus in Harry Potter as well, which does the same thing. It's a piece of public transport, but it's not for the normal people. It's magic. And there was actually a series I read as a child, and I cannot for the life of me remember what it was called. They had sort of light witches and dark witches, or sort of, light magic, dark magic, and things like that. And at one point, the characters needed to get completely lost. They were doing a spell to find something, but to do it, they needed to be lost. And the only way they could get back from being lost was if someone who loved them could sort of keep... There was someone who loved them who'd sort of keep thinking of them. And so what they did to get lost was they just got into this taxi and they said, "Will you just drive us somewhere? Don't tell us where we're going, just drive us anywhere." And the girl's like, "Well, can I go home?" And they're like, "Yeah, that's fine, you can go home if you want. Just don't tell us where it is, don't tell us where we're going, just drive us there. And take us on a roundabout route so that we have no idea where we're going." And I really liked that idea, just getting into a cab and saying to getting into a taxi, just saying to the driver, "Take us anywhere." And driver being like, "Can I go home for tea?" "Yeah, you can. Go home for tea, sure. Just don't tell us where it is." But it was nice, because that was the first time I'd ever seen, and that book especially, it was the first time I'd ever seen something like public transport, something which was so modern and so linked to technology and the future and things like that, used in a kind of mystical way. It was the first time I'd sort of seen those two ideas married together. So having lifts and having taxis and things like that linked to the supernatural is really interesting for me, because they don't feel old enough to be linked to the supernatural. And they're new, and it's how we can apply supernatural even to a world that is progressing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it sort of plays on the old ghost story of the haunted stagecoach type thing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's a few sort of traditional UK stories where someone's been travelling and they've got themselves stranded out in the middle of nowhere, and a stagecoach comes along and they get on board because, you know, the stagecoach has been really, you know, nice to them. It's snowing or raining or whatever.
Yeah.
And as they go further and further along the journey, they realise there's something a bit weird about the other passengers. And as they get further along, they realise that the passengers are all dead. Normally it's at the point where the stagecoach lets them out that they realise that the whole thing's been dead, and then it turns out that the stagecoach went careering off a cliff or off the hillside like a few years ago with X number of passengers in.
Yeah.
And has, followed that road ever since.
Yeah, and it's also buses and things like that you get into, and then everyone on that bus disappears.
Yeah,
the demon bus or something like that.
Yeah, back to Phantom Hitchhikers again.
Yeah. So the last game, I say in inverted commas, is called the Closet Game. It's nothing to do with homosexuality.
I didn't even think that till you said it.
I did. Okay.
You get in the closet and you try and question your sexual orientation.
You get into the closet and you prepare to come out. You just burst out. "I am a homosexual!" I practice that every now and again. It's very liberating. just get into my cupboard and come out announcing my sexuality every time. It's really nice. Anyway, the game... Okay, so apparently this game is scarier than the others because you're not summoning a ghost or a spirit, but a full-fledged demon. Okay. So I've read this one, and I really don't know how it counts as a game, but here it is. Okay, so for the ritual, you need to stand inside a dark closet and hold up an unlit match. Small fire warning to you. Most of the time, closets are filled with clothes. So if you are holding up a match, even if it is unlit, in a thing full of clothes, be aware that most clothes are in fact flammable.
So make sure that you have a room and that you're not near anything dry that could easily catch fire.
So you stand there with your unlit match, then you say out loud, "Show me the light or leave in darkness." If you hear someone whispering in your ear or near your ear, you light the match instantly. If you fail to light up the match quickly enough, the demon will drag you into the deep dark abyss, of which there is no return. So make sure your match game is strong. The same can happen if you start looking around where you hear the whispering. You just need to light the match, okay? When you light the match, you need to step out of the cupboard and make sure the match doesn't burn out or blow out. But from that day, you're going to need to be very careful of going near the cupboard because it's now haunted by a demon. End of game. That's not a game! You've just trapped a demon in your cupboard!
Again, with the why would you do that?
Why would you just... You know what I'm going to do? I really don't like these dresses. I'm just going to put a demon in there and then I'll never be... Well, I don't know why. So yeah, that's not a game. It's just...
That's a stupid thing to do. That's like... That's based off of legends of trapping genies and djinns in bottles, except you're using a closet. You won't ever be able to use that closet for anything else ever again.
No, you won't. So presumably you're not going to need to... You're not going to have want that cupboard for yourself or for use at any time. So yes, recommended that you remove any clothes or items that you may desire to wear before using it. Also, probably recommend that you don't use a cupboard which is like an inbuilt cupboard, because you can't burn that then, you see. If it's just in your wall in your room, that might not be very good.
My brain's gone to a very strange place, and I'm now imagining someone trying to do this but using a cutlery drawer.
Every time they open the cutlery drawer, this
like,
hand tries to...
You can't have a fork or a spoon. You've got to fish your tea bag out of your cup with your fingers.
That's just, every time the cutlery drawer opens, the hand tries to reach out. You just have to slap at it while you try and grab hold of a knife for yourself. Just shut the drawer again. Like, whew, that was a terrible idea. I don't know why I did it. But yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe the demon would be really friendly. Maybe you're just like, ooh, I need a butter knife, and the drawer will open and it'll just hand you the butter knife. But curse you while it's doing it, because it's a demon, you know, it's got to uphold itself. So yes, those are 10 terrifying games that you should never, ever play. But we've now explained how to play most of them, except for the Midnight Man one. You still don't know how to play that one, thank goodness. So yes.
Okay, did you ever play anything a bit risque as a, I'll say teen or, which actually wasn't that long ago for you, was it?
No. The riskiest thing I ever, no, to be honest, all the games I mostly played, because I am a scaredy cat, were things like ringing people's doorbells and running away, which as an adult now, like, it's such a dick move. I'm ashamed of my little self. Like,
it is, but I think you kind of have to play knock and run at least once, don't you?
I know, I was a little girl. I remember playing, you know, I must have been, what, like 5 or maybe 6 and playing it and thinking it was the best game ever. And now if anyone knocks on my door, even if it's the postman, I'm like, oh, why? Why is this happening to me? Like, I hate being interrupted in the day. I feel really sorry for the people that I disturb. Like, if I could find them again, I'd contact them and say, look, I just want to say I'm so sorry. I was a little shit. I think that's the riskiest thing I ever played.
Really? So you never played, like, Spin the Bottle or Truth or Dare or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, Spin the Bottle, Truth or Dare, but we were all very tame, to be honest.
Because... weirdly, the thing that a lot of these things have in common are that generally it's older teenagers that would play them.
Mm-hmm.
We are wired as young adults, as teens, and people in our early 20s. And, you know, some stupid people in their 30s as well, in fairness. But generally, the lower end of the scale, age-wise, to be taking risks, it's normal for you to start taking risks at that time in your life. Yeah. And sometimes that manifests itself in this desire to play illogical games that promise that you'll be stalked forever by a demon, for example.
I know, despite the fact that these are all terrible ideas, I cannot deny that a part of me was just there like, play one. No, play one!
So, yeah, I mean, it is part of the whole sort of, yeah, play spin the bottle, play truth or dare. Play Murder in the Dark. Murder in the Dark was always loads of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, but usually involve summoning a demon.
No, I can't say I ever did that. We did... We visited various haunted houses. We went scrumping.
Yeah, this is true. Is the visiting of haunted places. I am still very tempted by that. My partner was telling me about... My partner, Northern Irish, and he comes from an area which has got all sorts of fantastic stories and places and things like that. So he tells me all these stories about places and the myths, and all I can think is, I want to go. And it's this thing, though, because there's a bunch of haunted places in Winchester as well, apparently. And I always think, oh, yeah, I want to go spend a night there. And then, like, if it's just late afternoon and I'm passing by, I'm like, nope. I am not doing that.
One of my friends, when she was a student nurse, was living in a house share in Plymouth. And it was her first night in the house. There was nobody else in. And she went down into the basement and found this Ouija board all set up with a glass and everything. And she couldn't stand the idea of staying in the house by herself. She's not so bad now, but she, at the time, she was like really had this irrational phobia about ghosts and the supernatural. Mm-hmm. Plymouth back in the 80s and 90s is not a safe place to wander around by yourself at 2 o'clock in the morning, which is what she ended up doing rather than staying in the house with a set up Ouija board.
Jeez.
Obviously she was fine, but you know, looking back at it now, it's like, that was slightly more irrational, really.
There is a temptation to do these things until I'm actually faced with doing them, and then I don't. I don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, I never played with Ouija boards or anything like that as a teenager, but I had a friend who did one. For some reason, they were bored, so they set one up in an abandoned farmhouse. I mean, we lived right out in the sticks, so yeah, it was kind of make your own fun, but this was a bit daft. And they were absolutely convinced, I wasn't there, so I can't speak for the veracity of this, but they were absolutely convinced that the glass moved itself, as in no one was touching it, and it sort of lifted. And this friend went absolutely nuts and smashed the glass into powder with a baseball bat. Because actually what they forget to tell you, with all these specialised boards and things, they forget that originally it was done with bits of paper or card and a glass, that if you get any sort of reaction like that and you need to end it and banish it soon, you're supposed to smash the glass.
Oh.
So there was some logic behind it. You didn't just go banzai.
just brought it with him for some overkill.
But he was still really freaked out about that years and years later.
I mean, to be honest, if you are going to play with a Ouija board, don't do it in your own house.
If you're going to do anything with a Ouija board, take the word play out of the equation. Because what you're doing ultimately, whether you believe in ghosts or not, doesn't really matter. You may not believe you have a subconscious, but you do. And if you start forging new pathways in your brain like this, if you start opening up doors in your mind, as it were, then don't be surprised if things sort of start to walk back and forward between your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. Ultimately, the channel's too wide. And it's like playing with hypnotism or mesmerism or, I suppose, even regression, things like that. You don't want to do anything like that. It's all the same sort of thing where you're playing around with the human mind. We still don't fully understand the human mind.
Yeah, now that's the thing. One risky thing we did used to do, which was hypnotism. Definitely played with putting people in trances and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a very cruel game we used to play where it doesn't work if you play it more than once, I don't think, but you get your willing victim and you blindfold them and you're telling them a story, and what works really well is if you're a good storyteller, Because if you're a good storyteller and you can pull in sensory details, you can really give them the idea for a moment that what you're saying is happening is actually happening. But what you're literally doing is you've got your arm through theirs and you're holding onto them, and you're walking them up a flight of steps. You're going round and round and round up steps, and because you're talking them through it slowly and calmly all the way through, they start to believe they are actually walking up steps. And you explain where you are on a tower, and what you can see from the top, and that you can feel the wind and various other things. And then you say, and then we finally got to the top of the tower, and then you shove them really hard. So you say, because you're telling them this story of this person who walked all the way up the steps to the top of the tower, etc. And then you're saying that that person got shoved off the top of the tower, and you shove this person at the same time.
Yeah.
So for a brief moment, their brain supplies the rest of the information. They genuinely think they're falling. But what you've done there is induced a semi-hypnotic state so that they really do believe it's happening for a few seconds.
I have actually heard of that game, but also I'm terrified of you now, Jules. The way you said it, and then you shove them with such delight. Such epic delight.
Have you never gone out on a clifftop with somebody and just for a second wondered about shoving them off the top? Because I'm sure most people think that.
Well, we've definitely played the Save Your Life game. Save Your Life, have you never done that? You grab someone, you pretend to shove them, and then you yank them back. Except, I remember the last time we played that, we were in Holland. It was very, very icy. And someone did it to me, and I fell over. And then we all kept doing it to each other, except every single time there would be ice, so you both slip over. And it was just a disaster. So I think after that, everyone stopped playing. But I remember actually doing that to my brother, giving him a little shove at one point as a joke, and getting properly yelled at. And this still haunts me to the day, because we were actually in a very dangerous area. He could have very well actually slipped and died. So I was just there like, oh. And I think about it to this day. I think about the fact he just scowled at me and that was that. And my mother was there like, what are you doing? I don't even think he remembers it, but I remember it. I remember thinking, and that was the day I almost murdered my brother. I hope Bloody Mary doesn't find out, because she might consider it. So, well, yes.
He didn't die, so you're okay.
He didn't die, and I doubt he remembers, so I've never asked him, but maybe one day I will. Hey, do you remember that time I almost killed you? He almost killed me as a baby, so I think we're fine, we're even. Have you played any other games that weren't on the list?
I'm just trying to think. They're all variations on the same thing, and, you know, I've gone and stayed as a teenager, gone and stayed in allegedly haunted houses and things, which, you know, probably shouldn't have done, because they weren't there to be stayed in, as it were, so they were abandoned.
Yeah.
And we were trespassing at best. At best. Yeah, so there you go. But I was never scared of ghosts and things, so.
No, you weren't.
That wasn't a problem. Elevators on your hands. Hairdressers.
Come on, Jules.
Totally freaked out by hairdressers, honestly. I'd rather visit the dentist.
Well, I think we've run out of time. Actually, I think we've gone over.
We have, very slightly. And we haven't really linked it to a lot of speculative fiction.
But we haven't, but
we can revisit that another time.
We can revisit that, and hopefully actually this may give some of you writers out there some spooky ideas for your own stories. We please advise you not to play any of those games, though if you do want to do that, do it at your own discretion, and, you know, be safe, please.
If you do it and survive, then come back and tell us about it.
Yeah, we would genuinely like to hear about your experiences.
There is actually very little actual first person. Well, Bloody Mary, there's loads and loads of documentation about people who've done it and given accounts. But there are very few accounts for things like, you know, one man hide and seek. So if you want to come back and tell us about your possessed doll experience.
Yeah, well, I mean, even if you do play Bloody Mary and you want to tell us about it, leave us a comment or tell us about any scary games that you've heard of or that you've played that you think might interest us. And by interest us, we mean talk about it, not actually play it ourselves, because I'm a sensible human being and also a huge coward. I'm happy to admit that.
I'm just too old to be playing these sort of games, to be honest.
Oh, shut up, Jules.
Haunted hopscotch.
This one is called Haunted Cup of Tea. What do? You just drink a cup of tea.
No.
Is that it?
Haunted cup of tea. That would be awful. What would I drink? Damn you.
It involves you drinking a cup of tea and trying to find messages in the mist. If you see a message, then you see a message. If you don't, then that's fine.
I think we should leave it there.
We'll leave it at that. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks and goodbye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Dissecting Dragons, the speculative fiction podcast. You can follow our podcast at podbean.com or from iTunes. For more information, visit our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/dissectingreaders, or check out our author websites at jaironside.com and madelinevaughan.com. Please note, no dragons were harmed during the making of this podcast.